Welcome to News in Focus with your host, Chris Long, president of the Ohio Christian Alliance. Stay tuned for an analysis and conversation about the issues that matter most to you and your family. Here now with this week's edition of News in Focus is Chris Long.
And good evening and welcome to this edition of News in Focus. We're glad that you've joined us. And an exciting day today in Columbus, Ohio, as thousands gathered at our state capitol to pray and to intercede for America. You're listening to a broadcast of the Ohio Christian Alliance News in Focus, and today we're going to talk about praying for our country, praying for America. Today, Franklin Graham was in Columbus, Ohio today with the 50 city tour, and number 47, of course, was Columbus, Ohio on this October 6th. And thousands came. They came in buses, they came in church vans, they came in cars. In fact, it was so packed downtown, many people couldn't find parking spaces. We wonder how many could have been turned away because they couldn't find a place to park. These are the reports that are coming back. I went down early in the morning. I was able to get parking at one of the public parking decks. There was a reception this morning with the Franklin Graham Association. I was able to take that in and then get over there to the Statehouse grounds for the noontime prayer rally. And what a tremendous gathering it was. And what did we do? Well, we took time to pray and to repent. 2 Chronicles 7:14 declares, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." Well, in the book of Ezekiel, the Lord says, "And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found none." Well, today, there was a few, to say the least, that joined us in Columbus, Ohio. And here's an audio of the rally earlier today from Columbus with Franklin Graham. Let's take a listen.
"And this pagan king sent Nehemiah back to Jerusalem with the authority to rebuild the walls. Gave him letters, gave him a military escort, gave him favor. And then within 52 days after returning, in 52 days he rebuilt the walls of that city and he rehung those gates. Many people say, I've had people say to me, Franklin, it's too late for our country. Oh, really? Let me tell you what happens when God's people come and pray. It looked as though it was impossible for Nehemiah to rebuild that city wall in 52 days. Why? Because God was with him. Can America be turned around? With God's people, it can be turned around when God's people come and pray. The moral and political walls of our nation are crumbling. They're falling down. Walls are meant for protection to keep bad people out. Gates can be open when threats come. Gates can be closed. The moral walls of our nation are down. Any type of wicked thought, teaching, and activity can come and go. And our educators, big business, politicians, and sadly to say, many of our churches are more concerned about prophets, political correctness, than they are about God's truth and his righteousness. Nehemiah, let's look what he did."
Well, that was audio today from earlier with Franklin Graham at the Ohio State House in downtown Columbus. And we estimate the crowd to be over 8,000 Ohioans that joined us. And there were men, there were women, there were children, there were young people from schools who came to pray and to intercede for our nation. And it was a time of prayer. We confessed our personal sins. The Bible declares, "If I confess my sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." We prayed corporately. We prayed for America's sins. We repented of the sin of abortion, the sin of pornography, the sin of adultery, the sin of grievousness, the sin of envy and strife. the sin of idolatry, the sin of selfishness, the sin of greed. We prayed and we repented and we prayed for our nation. We prayed in repentance of the perversion that's in our land, of homosexuality. You know, in this time of intercession, it was a time where the Spirit of God was moving upon the people. There were many tears of people praying and interceding. People who feel concerned about what's happening in our nation, and I know that many of you feel the same way. In fact, as I talk to our contacts around the state of Ohio, there is much anxiety about the upcoming election. What's going to happen in America? Which way will we go? Are we going to continue down the slide and the slippery slope? And actually, you could say that it's actually cascading now more towards evil in our country, more towards wickedness, a departure from God. And that's what Franklin Graham was talking about today. Our nation is in trouble right now. These are troubled times. We can see race relations. We can see relations with our police. We see people that are protesting the national anthem. And it seems at this time we're shaken as a nation. Now, this is a moral problem for America, but there is an answer. The Bible says, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord," Psalm 33:12. And the encouragement that came out of today was that there were literally thousands who came to pray, not just here in Columbus, but over the last number of weeks through the summer. Franklin Graham has met at 47 state capitals across the country, varying in sizes, but thousands of people that have come out to pray and to intercede. And if there's that many people that really are concerned about our country, then what we're reading in Ezekiel chapter 22 and verse 30, "And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it." Well, the good news is God has found a few that are willing to intercede and to pray, and I hope that you joined us today. Well, it just doesn't end today. It's a continuation of prayer, an intercession. With each new day comes new challenges. And this is what's happening in our culture today. We need to pray for our young people. We need to pray for them to have an awakening of God, a recognition of the times that they're living in, and a recognition of God himself, and that we can see a great move of God. You know, also today was Bring Your Bible to School Day. How many kids did that and brought the scriptures to school? You know, I remember the first Bible I ever got. It was actually in a public school, if you can imagine that. That's right. Back in the 60s, the Gideon Society used to hand out a New Testament Psalms and Proverbs to every student. Now, I remember getting mine. Actually, there was a little altercation because even though we never had a Bible at home and I was, you know, raised Catholic and maybe a little bit of righteous indignation was rising up, I saw one of the fellow students walk over to the trash can and threw his Bible in it. I went over, I picked it up, I put it in his hand, and I said, "This is God's word. Don't do that." Well, you know, I didn't know the Lord, but it was a little bit of righteous indignation. I knew that this was God's word. And this is a time for us to draw close to the Lord. Well, I asked a few of my pastor friends who were in attendance today to join us on the program today. Pastor Al Davis, who pastors the Richfield Baptist Church. By the way, I'll be speaking there on Sunday. And Pastor will give you all the details on that. We would love for you to come out. If they meet at the Holiday Inn in Richfield. I kind of love that because I remember when I was going across the country 36 years ago in 1980, we stopped to visit a little church that was actually meeting in a Holiday Inn in Boise, Idaho. And I remember that, and it was just an outreach ministry. Well, Richfield Baptist meets at the local Holiday Inn, and it's open to all. And Pastor Rich is going to share that. We're going to be with him on Sunday morning. We hope that you'll join us. But let's tune in, Pastor Al, right now. Pastor, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you, Chris. It's good to be with you again, and what a great day this has been, hasn't it?
Absolutely. The Lord blessed us with beautiful weather, and of course, we're praying for the people down there in Florida, and I'm watching the news monitors right now. Of course, the hurricane is bearing down on Florida. We want to pray for people, intercede for them, as we've prayed for Haiti over the last few days, and those in the Bahamas as well affected. In fact, Franklin Graham said with the Samaritan's Purse that a cargo plane left out this morning with much supplies for the people of Haiti. And so it's a C-18, I think, is a is a military transport that they had bought and filled it with supplies and personnel and are going down to Haiti to help. That's the Ministry of Samaritan's Purse. But again, it was a wonderful day. Pastor Al, your thoughts?
Well, I was really glad to be able to go down and participate in the prayer. And, you know, I just, when you think about it, you said that they estimate about 8,000 people. I'd heard somebody during the course of it say that they expected, you know, close to 10,000. And a little later on, somebody who, one of the local newspapers, was taking pictures, and she thought we had over 10,000 people. So, yeah, it'll probably come out a little later, maybe a better thing. But the important thing is the huge number of people that came out that are motivated by what's happening in our country today and have a burden to see our country turn back to God in prayer. And one of the things that Franklin Graham said that I really appreciated was that it's not the Democrat Party that's going to save America, and it's not the Republican Party that's going to save America. It's when God's people turn to God in prayer. And
amen.
That was just amazing to see.
Well, that's exactly right. And that's what he said, is that this isn't about political parties. This is about God's people getting hold of the horns of the altar in heaven, interceding and praying and calling out to him, and really just, Jesus, have mercy on us. And, you know, this is an opportunity for a generation to seek God, to have an awakening like other generations have had. And I know, Pastor, it's your heart to see young people come to faith in Christ. And that's what we want to see happen. And there was a lot of young people there today. In fact, where I was standing, there was a young man from a local school, and he was praying as we were asked to pray out loud. And, you know, I just kind of quieted down and listened to what he was saying. And he was praying a wonderful prayer about our police and about racial relations. And he was just interceding and asking God to forgive us. And then we were moving into another part of the program. I turned around to him, and I said, amen. It was a great prayer. And so, you know, what a wonderful time it was today. And I was on the other side of the commons from you. Tell us what it was like. You were towards the front there with our group.
Yeah. I was actually up to the right of the podium, up on the side of the Capitol building where the steps go up. There's a sort of an area you could stand, and there were a number of us that were standing up there. Had a great view. I could see, you know, the entire group of people. And what you said about the number of young people that were there, there was quite a few. I've been to a number of things, church events, conservative-oriented events, things of that nature. And one of the common complaints is, where are the young people? Well, there were a lot of them there today. And like you said, they were praying. They seemed happy to be there. They were engaged. And it was good for them to see other Christians around them taking a stand, a public stand for the Lord Jesus Christ and interceding on behalf of their state and behalf of their nation and behalf of their own communities. And, you know, I think that if we don't see anything immediately, maybe one day down the road, these young people that are there are going to be inspired by what they saw, and they may be the next generation that rises up if the Lord tarries, that can help turn this country around with the Lord's help.
Well, that's right. And so, you know, what we saw was just a tremendous outpouring today, and of course, we're all singing as well. It was so great to hear public choir with so many people that have called in. I'm sorry, you know, that we're singing together. In fact, Pastor Jason, I think, is with us. Pastor?
Yeah, how's it going?
Good, good. Hey, tell us, this is Pastor Jason Williams of Northside Baptist Church here in Columbus. Pastor, what were your thoughts about today?
Man, I thought it was awesome. It really was a great experience for me. There was so many different people. I kind of moved around through the crowd and tried to talk to as many people as I could, and just met all kinds of different people from all over the state, and really from all kinds of different churches, different walks of life, but they all really were there to pray. And that was amazing for me. It was really encouraging to see that and to see so many different people gathered in one place. I mean, the grounds couldn't hold it, and that was awesome for me to see. I loved it.
Well, that's right. And you've been taking time over the last several years praying with legislators. You actually lead Bible studies down there in Columbus with legislators in the Speaker's office. You're really kind of a chaplain to them over the last few years. And it's got to just warm your heart to see that many people come and pray at our state house.
It does. It was really encouraging. I talked to a couple different people who were up on the platform, and they said there was as many as 23 different members of legislature from Ohio that were there just in the crowd, praying with the crowd. So it really was encouraging. Sometimes when you do outreach to politicians and you do Bible studies with them, you kind of feel alone. And then all of a sudden you come to an event like this, and there's, you know, somewhere between 8,000 to 10,000 people praying. And Franklin Graham is praying, and, you know, people are crying and people are celebrating all at the same time. And it was very encouraging. I really have high hopes for our country because of today. I think it was a huge day for us, a huge day for our state.
Well, absolutely. You know, just the outpouring, I think, today, and the welcoming that people experienced by being there. And like you said, there was a number of legislators that showed up that were part of it. I think that was just great. Pastor Al, your thoughts?
I would agree with that. The number of legislators that were there, that echoes something. You and I were at an event recently in Medina, Ohio, where Senator James Lankford from Oklahoma was there. And something I remember him saying, and I think this ties in with what Jason said, he said in the last few years, after the last several elections, there's been more Baptists, he said Baptists, but I think also in addition to just Baptists, Christians in general, that are serving, you know, in our government than ever before. And I think it was good for our legislatures to see this huge number of people that came out, and a lot of people are saying it was short notice even for some people, but I know you've worked with the Ohio Christian Alliance to advertise this for some time, but the encouragement. Sometimes the legislatures, I think, can feel like they're alone. They're kind of like Daniel's friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you know, standing, the only one standing when the music's playing, everybody's bowing down before the statues. And yet here they were, you know, with all these Christians praying for them. It had to be an encouragement to the legislatures.
Well, you know, it really does mean a lot that there was so many people that were there. Because what that's going to do is speak to politicals as to where this is, this is a great constituency, as it were. Mm-hmm. And they're going to look out the windows, and there's a lot of people, I'm sure, looking out of their windows and looking at that crowd and saying, wow, what's happening here? Mm-hmm. So it was a real witness.
Yes, there were a lot of people stopping along the street, people who were going about their business that were just caught up with what was going on.
Well, I tell you what, let's do this. We're going to take a break. We're going to get a little bit of feedback on the phone here. We're going to figure out what that is. But we're going to continue to share about what took place today in Columbus, more with Pastor Jason and the ministry that he has with legislators, what this means going forward for the election, as we are within the window now, as November 8th is approaching very quickly. We're 32 days away from the election. So let's take a break, and we'll be right back on the other side. Don't go away.
Who's looking out for seniors today? It's not the AARP. AARP worked overtime to help pass Obamacare, the legislation that cut over $700 billion from Medicare. And AARP supports the death tax, which can rob families of over half their savings due to the death of a loved one. Seniors know that AARP would rather make millions peddling insurance products than support the policies that actually help America's elderly. That's why America's seniors count on the 60 Plus Association. For more than 20 years, 60 Plus has has been fighting for the seniors that AARP has left behind. 60 Plus fought against Obamacare and continues to fight every day for its repeal in Washington. And 60 Plus is the leading national organization working to repeal the death tax once and for all, so that families can pass down their businesses and farms to the next generation, not the IRS. Stand up for your values. Join 60 Plus today. Visit 60plus.org or call 703-807-2070. This message paid for and authorized by the 60 Plus Association.
In January of 1776, Pastor Peter Muhlenberg preached a sermon, "For Everything There Is a Season," from the book of Ecclesiastes. When he read the eighth verse, "A time of war and a time of peace," he took off his clerical robe to reveal his colonial uniform. He walked to the back of the church and recruited 162 men from his congregation to form the 8th Virginia Regiment to fight in the Revolutionary War. America was in a crisis and was in need of men and women of faith to stand up with courage to face the threat to liberty. Today, America is facing new threats to our liberty, and the Citizens Army needed is one in which will get involved, register, and vote. The Ohio Christian Alliance has launched a statewide Citizenship Sunday voter registration drive in churches across the state of Ohio. To help conduct a voter registration effort at your church and volunteer, contact the offices of the Ohio Christian Alliance at 330-887-1922 or log on to ohioca.org.
And we're back, and again, this Sunday is the last Citizenship Sunday that we can have before the November 8th election. October 11th is the voter registration deadline. So, pastors, you want to have a voter registration effort at your church this Sunday, October 9th, and then on Monday, have one of the staff people or yourself that will go ahead and take those forms down to the Board of Election. They have to be in by Tuesday, October 11th, and the Board of Elections will stay open until 7 p.m. on Tuesday, statewide. So, again, we have an opportunity here. Pastor Al Franklin Graham, he talked a lot about that today, didn't he? He talked about Christians getting involved. Talk to us about that.
Yes, he's absolutely right. Christians need to get involved. I had conversation with some of the people where I was standing, and we were talking about that actually even a little before the rally began, about how we have turned our government over to the world. And then we complain that it runs like the world. Churches have not been involved. I remember talking to some people on the bus going down saying, as a pastor, I can lay some of the blame right at the feet of pastors that are afraid to talk about what's happening in the political realm for fear that somebody will be upset, it'll be too divisive, or for fear that they won't get as much money in the offering plate. And we put those things before God and His Word. We need to get back to preaching the Word and telling what the Bible has to say and giving biblical guidance in regards to these issues dealing with same-sex marriage, homosexuality, abortion. And it's not just those things that we normally think of. There's the pervasive entertainment culture that we're in, where entertainment is become America's God. And just things of that nature, and Christians need to get back involved in the political realm, like Franklin Graham was saying. Even if it's just running for the school board, somebody used to say, even if it's just dog catcher, get people in our churches that are involved running for city council, become a mayor, become a school board member, maybe get the opportunity to go on to a higher political office of some sort, statewide or even national, but it needs God's people to get back involved, to be salt and light. We like being salt in the salt shaker, but we don't want to get out and try and improve the flavor of the world around us by living a godly life and being a witness to the people out there outside of our church walls. So yeah, Christians need to get involved in the political realm, even just become a poll worker, if nothing else. Distribute flyers for your candidates that you're in support of. Find out who's there that echoes your biblical views and do your best to support them and pray for them. That's the big thing. Pray right there.
Well, I think a lot of pastors across the country and here in Ohio have been registering their congregants to vote.
Yeah.
We've seen the biggest effort we have in some time. Pastor Jason, you've been involved with this. Tell us what you're seeing on the ground.
Yeah, I spoke with several different leaders today. All of them, I spoke with you for a little bit, but all those leaders said very similar things. They said this is one of the largest voter registration turnouts that they've had. I think there's a lot of people who are really concerned about the country, and I do think that they maybe realize there is, as Franklin Graham said, it's not about a Republican or Democratic answer. The answer is God and using us to do what we should be doing. And, so often people say it's the lesser of two evils when you vote. I would argue that it's the lesser of three evils. You're going to vote for two people, or your third evil, and I believe what is the most evil, would be to vote, to not vote at all. And I think that's worse. I think that's to take the freedoms and the gifts that God's given us and just bury them in the sand. And so I think you see a lot of people right now who are realizing that if they're going to live like Christ would have them live in this country, they've got to take advantage of the gifts and blessings that he's given to us. And so leaders all over are calling and getting in touch with us and saying, we've got this many, and we've got groups that are doing voter registration. I think there was four or five groups today that were just there. And so that's really encouraging. I think it's awesome.
Well, that's right. In fact, Pastor, if you're listening or you're a volunteer at your church, folks, if you're listening, go to the Ohio Christian Alliance website. You can download the packet that has a voter registration form, that has a application for absentee ballot, actually instructions on how to do this. Just have the pastor make an announcement. And with that announcement, just saying, look, there'll be volunteers at the back of the church in the foyer. If you're not registered to vote, if you've turned 18, if you've transferred with a job or moved since the last election, or if you've never registered to vote, you can do so this morning by stopping back at the table and registering to vote. Now, the Ohio Christian Alliance also has produced an educational voter guide. And this voter guide will cover the presidential race, the congressional, the Ohio House, and the Ohio Senate. And again, what we do is we survey candidates. We survey the Ohio House, the Ohio Senate. We survey congressional races. And then according to those candidates that have responded, we put the results in the Ohio Christian Alliance candidate survey, a voter guide. It's a nonpartisan piece that can be distributed in churches, and we ask you to do that. You can actually print it off of our website. We will have some printed versions available. The first print copy is coming off the presses this Friday, and then we'll ship them out to some churches that request them. That's at ohioca.org, or just Google Ohio Christian Alliance. So you could view the voter guide there. You can also request them for your church. Now, this is an important educational piece that's been utilized over the years. In fact, we've done over 8.5 million voter guides over the years, the last 12 years, and distributed them to thousands of churches that have helped people to understand where candidates stand on pro-life issues, religious liberty issues, taxes on the family, national defense. All of this is in the Ohio Christian Alliance voter guide, and we encourage you to go there. Pastor Al, we'll be with you on Sunday. Give us the details of the church location.
Yes, Chris, you and your wife are going to be with us at our church in Richfield Bible Baptist Church. We meet at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express. That's located at 5171 Brecksville Road. We're in northwestern Summit County. Actually, we're very easy to find. We're right off from Interstate 77, right where the Ohio Turnpike crosses. In fact, you can see the toll booths from the conference room that we meet at. So I tell people, if you can't find us, Google the Holiday Inn Express. But we're looking forward to having you with us Sunday morning, this coming Sunday. And that will be, you'll be speaking in our 11 o'clock service. And everyone is welcome. And we will be talking about, I'm sure, some of the issues surrounding the coming election and the need to pray for our country, the need for people to be registered to vote and to get out and vote. It's not enough just to be registered. You got to get out and actually go to the polling station or send in an absentee ballot, however you do it. But it's important for people to pray and vote your biblical conscience. And we're looking forward to having you there, you and your wife. So that'll be this Sunday at 10 o'clock, Richfield Holiday Inn Express for the Richfield Bible Baptist Church.
We're looking forward to it. And thank you for the invitation. So folks, If you have an opportunity to join with us on Sunday morning, we'll look forward to see you. We'll have voter guides with us as well. So looking forward to being with Pastor Al. Pastor Jason, High Street Baptist Church in Columbus, your congregation has already done voter registration. You'll be distributing voter guides at the church. But you're, as you've been connecting with leaders across Central Ohio and around Ohio about encouraging their congregations to register, to vote, to get involved, how are you feeling? Are you feeling that we're seeing a good response this year?
Yeah, I really think the response is quite encouraging. I think it's awesome. It's going to be, I believe, probably the biggest year we've had since 2004. And there just seems to be a lot of churches who really want to be involved, a lot of pastors, a lot of people who are wanting to get, you know, maybe plugged into an office of some place. But right now, I think the voter registration is huge. And yeah, it's really encouraging. At our church alone, we did 3 weeks and had a little over 35 people register to vote. And our church, I would say, is probably one of the more politically minded churches in Columbus. But we just had people who didn't realize that if they moved addresses, they had to re-register.
Right.
Or didn't realize that, well, since I'm married, I need to register. You know, they, just people who mean well but didn't realize that. So we really talked about that. Like, hey, if you're moving, you know, we need to get you registered. And so there was a really good turnout for that. And there was also a lot of people who just were really interested in what else they could do. Our church last night had a service. And it started at 7 and at 6:30, I'm sorry. And right around 7:30 in the middle of the sermon, myself and about 15 other young men, all millennials, all working jobs and working hard, all went up. We gathered together in the side and we prayed for about an hour for our country. And you know, we just felt so burdened, and they had a real burden for this country. So I think you see Christians, and I honestly say in particular millennials, you see them really wanting to see what God would have them to do. And maybe they don't have all the answers, but they're determined to at least be registered, at least vote the way God wants them to vote, and at least, and I say at least kind of facetiously, but honestly, they are determined to at least pray. And we had, by the end of the service, probably 220 people up at the altar praying for this country in this upcoming election. So I think you're seeing a real turnaround. I don't know what that means come election day, but I think you are at least seeing a turnaround in Christians who are saying, you know what, we need to do what we need to do. And that's really encouraging for me.
Well, that is, in fact, having young people getting engaged. The millennials are so key. You know, the Secretary of State said that they're reporting that there's been over 1 million requests for applications for absentee ballots. So they're up over 30,000 from 2012, and that was earlier this week, and they're still coming in. So the numbers are going to exceed 2012, it looks like. Which also means that voter registrations are up. We'll get you numbers on that as well. Pastor Al, when you see that crowd today, and you've been to a lot of these kinds of events over the years, what stood out to you today?
Well, again, like I said earlier, the number of young people, like Jason said, the number of millennials, and I don't know if there's a new group for the teens now, you know, beyond millennials, but that's hope for the future. That's hope for the future because, you know, when you're middle-aged and getting beyond middle-aged, you know, you start to think more in your life about what are we doing to pass, you know, this faith that we have down to those that are going to follow us because, you know, you and I are a little older than Jason, and we're not going to be here if the Lord tarries as long as he is, and it's his generation and then those that follow him that's going to have to pick up the baton, that's going to have to be the ones that are praying for this country, the ones that are trying to be a godly influence. And that was, I think, one of the things that, really impressed me, just the number of young people that, seemed to be having a burden. And then and also just in general, the way that God really seems to be moving in our country lately. You know, it, I tell our church oftentimes that the darker the times get, the brighter even the faintest of lights shines. And I think we're in a time where, because of the evils of the society around us, it's harder for Christians to not stand out if they're even beginning to try, even in a little way, to be a witness to those around them. And to see people standing, you know, proudly for their faith, proud in a good way, for their faith, for their Lord Jesus Christ, and, demonstrating their burden that they have for their country and for their state, that just made me feel good as a pastor and as a believer.
Well, the Bible says, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? In Psalm 11, verse 3. And the threat to our country and its foundations of government and freedom and the Constitution, the First Amendment that gives us the religious freedom, is all at risk in this upcoming election, folks. And I think what Franklin Graham stressed today and got a rousing applause and response line was, it's all about the Supreme Court. The next president will appoint up to three new justices, maybe four, on the Supreme Court, and that will change the court's direction for a generation to come. Now, stop and think for a minute. When we saw last year, when the court, in a very narrow 5-4 decision, Justice Kennedy, siding with the liberals on the court, began to redefine marriage as between two people of the same sex. This is, in fact, really no one knows what exactly they define, because it can mean anything. It, you know, as God designed it, marriage is between a man and a woman. And from that product comes life, comes a family. But now the court has gotten into a situation where they have redefined what God has set forth. Now, when you go down that path, there is no limit as to what kind of wicked godlessness and evil can proceed. And so that's what's at stake in this election. That's why people are have great anxious thoughts right now about going into this election. What is going to happen to my country? Franklin Graham said this, that he said, look, I have 11 grandchildren, and I don't know what the future holds for my children and my grandchildren. They're not going to inherit the same country if things continue as they are that I grew up in. And we grew up in a wonderful time where we had great privileges and freedoms, and America experienced tremendous prosperity. And there was it seemed like nothing that this country couldn't do. But just like all great civilizations in the past, it can fall. And we see the crumbling of our society right now. Jeremiah, at what instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom, if that nation that I pronounce turn from their wickedness, I will repent of the evil I thought to do unto them. God spoke to Jeremiah and said, if the people will repent, then I will forestall the judgment coming. And folks, clouds of a storm of judgment is coming on America. If you can't see it, you're blind. We can see the signs all around us that this thing isn't just going to coast into the future. There's going to be a very shaking, rumbling time for America if things don't turn around. And that was evident today. Sense that in my spirit as we were praying. Pastor Jason, didn't you sense something today as we gathered? I mean, there was a warning in this as well.
Yeah, I absolutely sense that. You could really feel God was making kind of a make or break moment for us. And, you know, I think you could feel a lot of people who were genuinely sorry for the things that they had done, you know, the sins that they were guilty of. And I thought Franklin Graham did a phenomenal job of not only talking about, you know, some of the more popular social sins right now, but also he got up there and publicly apologized for his own sins. And I think that is what it's going to take in America is for us to realize God is giving us maybe our last warning. And I know people have said that before, but if you pay attention, as you said, to the times, we're right there. We are, as a country, you know, $20 trillion in debt. I think we are right there where if we don't get things turned around and turn around quickly, I think we could be in some real trouble. And you almost had that feeling today that God was saying, okay, let's see how serious my people are. Are you guys serious? And again, it was very encouraging that there was so many people. I just was looking at a picture that someone who works in the State House sent me. And it's an amazing picture. So many people praying together and calling out to God and asking God, forgive me for what I've done, forgive our country for what we've done, heal our land. And I felt, you know, in the beginning a little bit like, man, this is a make or break moment. But then at the end, I felt so encouraged. I really felt like God kind of moved in and gave people that spirit of hope. And there was a lot of people as I was kind of standing and people watching as they were leaving, who were clapping, who were singing, who were hugging each other, random strangers just hugging each other. And that only comes when God moves. You don't have that any other way. And so that was really awesome to be a part of.
Well, that's the hope that we desire. And this is what is spoken in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 18, verses 7 and 8. At what instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom, to pluck up and to pull down and destroy it. If that nation against whom I have pronounced turn from their evil, I will repent of the evil I thought to do unto them. Therein lies the promise of hope. And you know, God implored the prophet in Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. If ever there was a time we need to hear the voice of God, it's right now. So much clutter. So much rhetoric of what's going on. So much hate speech back and forth. So much shouting at times. But yet we don't have ears to hear. The Bible says, he that has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying unto the church. Pastor Al.
You're absolutely right. And I thought of, as you and Jason were talking, two cases in the Bible. The first one I thought of was King Manasseh. Under King Manasseh, he was one of the most wicked kings that the southern kingdom of Judah had. He was put in a cell in Babylon, and there he repented, and he called out to God. God forgave him of his sins, and he put off the judgment that he'd already pronounced on Judah. Also, the city of Nineveh, God called Jonah. We know the story of Jonah not wanting to go, but when Jonah got there, he went and he proclaimed God's judgment's coming. Nineveh's a wicked city. Nineveh repented from the king all the way down to the peasants. And God put off the judgment. And I agree with what you and Jason were saying. This could be our call to repentance as a nation, where perhaps the judgment may come on this country because of our sins, but God could put it off. Give us that end times revival.
Abraham looked over the city of Sodom and Gomorrah. The Spirit of God brought him there to the ledge to look out over the plain of Sodom and Gomorrah. And God showed what to Abraham, his friend, what he was going to do. He didn't withhold it from him. And Abraham began to pray, and he began to intercede. Lord, if there be 10 righteous in the city, will thou destroy it? And then he said, if there be 9, and he kept going. And he went down to the one, and the Lord said, I won't destroy it for the one. Well, it ended up that Lot and his family were delivered by the angels, and Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed. And, of course, Lot's wife looked back longingly to be in Sodom, and she was turned into a pillar of salt. The commandment was not to look back. You know, these are times of where we have to consider what is actually going on. What's God saying? And what he's saying is, it's time to repent. It's time to seek him. We need a revival in this country. We need awakening. Well, we're going to continue and close with some final thoughts. Pastor Al Davis, Ridgefield Baptist Church, Pastor Jason Williams in Central Ohio at High Street Baptist Church. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back after these messages. Don't go away.
Who's Who's looking out for seniors today? It's not the AARP. AARP worked overtime to help pass Obamacare, the legislation that cut over $700 billion from Medicare. And AARP supports the death tax, which can rob families of over half their savings due to the death of a loved one. Seniors know that AARP would rather make millions peddling insurance products than support the policies that actually help America's elderly. That's why America's seniors count on the 60 Plus Association. For more than 20 years, 60 Plus has been fighting for the seniors that AARP has left behind. 60 Plus fought against Obamacare and continues to fight every day for its repeal in Washington. And 60 Plus is the leading national organization working to repeal the death tax once and for all, so that families can pass down their businesses and farms to the next generation, not the IRS. Stand up for your values. Join 60 Plus today. Visit 60plus.org or call 703-807-2070. This message paid for and authorized by the 60 Plus Association.
In January of 1776, Pastor Peter Muhlenberg preached a sermon, "For Everything There Is a Season," from the book of Ecclesiastes. When he read the eighth verse, "A time of war and a time of peace," he took off his clerical robe to reveal his colonial uniform. He walked to the back of the church and recruited 162 men from his congregation to form the 8th Virginia Regiment to fight in the Revolutionary War. America was in a crisis and was in need of men and women of faith to stand up with courage to face the threat to liberty. Today, America is facing new threats to our liberty, and the citizens' army needed is one in which we'll get involved, register, and vote. The Ohio Christian Alliance has launched a statewide Citizenship Sunday voter registration drive in churches across the state of Ohio. To help conduct a voter registration effort at your church and volunteer, contact the offices of the Ohio Christian Alliance at 330-887-1922 or log on to ohioca.org.
And we're back. You're listening to News in Focus, a broadcast of the Ohio Christian Alliance, and this Sunday is the final Sunday for Citizenship Sunday, and that is to hold a voter registration in your church before the November 8th election. For October 11th, Tuesday, is the deadline to get voter registrations in before the November 8th election. And, Pastor, we hope that you'll be able to do that. You can go to our website at ohioca.org and download the Citizenship Sunday kit. It has helpful instructions, a voter registration form. It also has a application for absentee ballot. Also, there's a request for voter guides there as well, and that's at our website. Just Google Ohio Christian Alliance or go to ohioca.org. Or you can phone us at 330-887-1922. That's 330-887-1922. Gentlemen, as we close out the program today, and again, thank you both for joining us, Jason Williams of High Street Baptist Church and Pastor Al Davis of the Richfield Baptist Church. Gentlemen, as we look at this time today, obviously a significant date on the calendar. I know that I was looking forward to it all year since it was first announced. We were the 47th city, the 47th state capital that Franklin Graham was visiting, has a few more to go, and he has preached the gospel, and that was part of today's program, was it not? The proclamation of the gospel.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Pastor Jason, your thoughts?
Yeah. First of all, you know, Chris, I appreciate you having me on, and I'm thankful for all you do. You're a huge blessing to me and an encouragement, and I know you're a blessing and encouragement to many others around the state. And one of the things that I loved about today was that the gospel was preached. You know, I think it's a great thing to do all the stuff that we do, but there is power in the gospel. As Franklin said, and the more that we tell people about Jesus, the better off we are. I really believe that the answer is to tell people about Christ, and that's how we change this country. I believe if you get God into the American people, they will vote the way He instructs them to vote. And so I thought it was awesome. I thought it was huge for him to give a clear plan of salvation to everyone that was there, the people on the street, the people out in the street, the people driving by, the people that were up on the stage, to give a clear gospel presentation to them and to give that power that comes only through mentioning the name of Jesus Christ, I thought was huge. And I think God really blessed Pastor Graham for doing that. I thought that was a huge blessing and, again, an encouragement to me.
Thank you, Pastor. Absolutely. Well spoken. Pastor Al.
And thanks again, Chris, for allowing me to be on. And we're looking forward to having you at our church in Richfield, Ohio, on Sunday at 11 o'clock service. And I'll echo, too, what Jason said there. To hear the gospel proclaimed, I think of the number of types of rallies and things that have been down there and protests that have been held at the Capitol. And this is the ultimate in street preaching, if you think about it, and those giant speakers, the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, that message, the gospel message, was echoing from the buildings. You could hear it echoing down through the streets around the downtown Columbus area, and would that it would echo around this state, around the nation, and around the world, that message, because that is the ultimate thing that's going to turn this country around is, yeah, if we talk about the verse, if God's people, well, we got to have God's people, and that only comes from preaching the gospel. And as important as it is to be involved in the political scene, if we're not preaching the gospel, well, it's of no use. Unless the Lord builds the house, we labor in vain. And it was just wonderful to hear that.
Absolutely. And folks, let's just continue to pray. Pray for America. Pray for our leaders. Pray for God to send out of His Spirit upon the land and for our churches, and pray for our pastors. Pray for them to have the boldness to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ and to tell the truth, to speak about the morality of our day and what God's Word says about it. That's what's going to be so powerful and change the direction of this nation for good. And I'm encouraged with that thought, and I hope that you are too. Again, visit our website at ohioca.org, and I want to thank Pastor Al and Pastor Jason for being with us, and thank you for tuning in. And tell a friend, and God bless. We'll see you next week.
You have been listening to News in Focus with your host, Chris Long, president of the Ohio Christian Alliance. To learn more about the issues that matter most to you and your family, visit online at ohioca.org. That's ohioca.org. Thank you for listening. This program is sponsored by the Ohio Christian Alliance of Akron, Ohio.